Welcome to some amazing discussions from the voices of young America. Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. In the next hour, you'll hear from leading women in academics, business, entertainment, and more. Now, here are your hosts.
Entrepreneurs are all around us. These men and women strive to create their own paths to success, providing the creativity and innovation needed to help our nation and world flourish. Thank you, and welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and on the line is Ms. Felina Hansen. How are you doing, Mrs. Hansen?
I'm doing excellent. Thank you.
That's great. And wouldn't you mind please telling us just a little bit about yourself just to start out?
Absolutely, Michelle. So I've been an entrepreneur for over 10 years. I grew up in an entrepreneurial family, and my background's in marketing. Was mostly in high-tech marketing for the first 10 years of my career and faced 3 layoffs by the age of 30, 2 companies sold and 1 folded. So that was really my push to start my own business, which I had for 8 years, called Perspective Marketing, and I did marketing strategy consulting work for small to mid-sized service-based businesses.
Awesome.
And that's actually really what led me to launch my current business, Hera Hub. It was really my personal need in running my business out of my home for 8 years. And I did that because, of course, it was convenient and cost-effective, and I didn't need a full-time office. But I found working from home great sometimes, but there were days that it was isolating and hard to focus and really just missed having that community, so to speak, that one builds when you work for a company.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So that's really was the impetus for launching Hera Hub, which is a shared workspace. We specifically focus on serving female entrepreneurs. We have 3 locations in San Diego, 300 members here, and now we're expanding across the U.S. and even outside of the United States through a franchise model.
Awesome. And besides providing a workspace, you mentioned that you do have an extensive background in marketing, and you probably are very, very qualified for helping other entrepreneurs see their dream and try to achieve it. So do you also incorporate your expertise in consulting and marketing to advise other women in their business decisions?
Great thing about Hera Hub is, obviously, I share my expertise and talents with the community, but it's really more so about building a platform for others to do the same. And so we have members also with marketing expertise. We have members that are attorneys, folks in finance, nonprofit, all kinds of experience and backgrounds. And really it's a platform where they can share their expertise with each other, bounce ideas off of one another, and find the support and resources they need, not only to start a business, but also grow a business.
Right. And these entrepreneurs, they must juggle a lot of different hats. They have to take up the roles of financial people, of marketing people. They have to advertise themselves and their business simultaneously. And many times young people are taught to believe that we should try to identify a specific field and hope to attain a specific type of job. So what have you learned in both your work and personal experiences that helped to eradicate this idea?
Yeah, I think it's just the way of the world now. I think 2 sides to that question that I'll answer. Number one, yes, becoming a subject matter expert in a particular area, hopefully that you're passionate about and you're excited about contributing to, is certainly important. But at the same time, as you noted, as an entrepreneur, when you're getting going, you probably don't have the budget for a full team right off the bat.
Right.
And so you have to act in those roles, so to speak, as the marketer, as the accountant, as the salesperson. And so it really is sometimes challenging for people who have never experienced that or had to play multiple roles in a business. And that's why finding a strong community is important because, again, if you're doing it alone, so to speak, it can be challenging. And you don't know where to go to find answers for, even what type of entity should I set up to launch my business. And how does that structure affect how I pay taxes and how I file for my business? And so, again, just having a strong community to go to you know, find the resources and support is so, so important for entrepreneurs.
Absolutely. And a community is what you mentioned. And to have a community of different entrepreneurs that are all in the same boat is important and should be available to everybody. And one of your goals that I read is that you want to spread HeraHub internationally. Is that correct?
That's correct.
In what countries are you hoping to see your franchises in?
Absolutely. So the focus on expansion outside of the United States is really looking at countries that are, number one, pro-women, and number two, pro-entrepreneurship. In other words, there's laws and structures where people can step out and start their own business in a way that is not extremely difficult. And so much of Western Europe is a focus for our expansion. Canada, obviously, is probably one of the first places that we'll look at outside of the United States. But we've had a fair amount of interest in some Asian countries and South American countries.
Okay.
In fact, we just had a delegation visit HeraHub, entrepreneurial women from Latin America, and I had a woman from Paraguay who was extremely interested in bringing the concept there. So we have a call set up next week. So we we're continuing to grow here in the United States, and that's the immediate focus, but we very much have an eye to, you know, expanding again into countries that are pro-women and pro-entrepreneurship. I happen to be from Scandinavia. I'm half Swedish, quarter Danish, and quarter Norwegian, so obviously Scandinavia is high on my list as well.
Absolutely, and that is very, very exciting news. Do you hope to have some sort of system of international collaboration that maybe women at one HeraHub can try to influence and help out the business decisions of somebody else from another country?
Absolutely. So my vision is to create a global community of women who are collaborative and supportive and frankly change the way business is done. Again, really focusing on a collaborative model versus what we know now is more of a competitive model. And so that is a huge part of the focus, is helping women from countries all around the world be able to have that opportunity to connect and collaborate.
That's perfect. And where can our audience learn more about HeraHub?
Absolutely. So we've got a ton of information, great, great information on our website, and it's just HeraHub.com. That's HeraHub. And just a quick side note, Michelle, Hera is the Greek goddess of women. So it's I thought was fitting as we continue to build a global community of women.
I love that. And I think it's great that you tie that in and make a workplace especially for women. Why did you feel that a place needed to be especially for women? What is wrong, per se, of other workplaces that are available in different cities?
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing wrong by any means. There are just some incredible workspaces across the United States and the globe. But what I found is an opportunity to do something a little different. Women, when given the opportunity to connect with other women, connect in a different way. We are different than men, as no surprise, and we connect differently, we communicate differently, and frankly, we oftentimes appreciate a slightly different setting. And so many of the workspaces or co-working spaces around the world are really cool, cool spaces, but they tend to target a technology demographic, therefore a fairly male demographic.
Mm-hmm.
And as one of my members has been put it, sometimes they seem like frat houses with a lot more money. And so, you know, for an accomplished businesswoman that, you know, is really looking to have a place where she can bring clients, host professional meetings, sometimes a beer keg in the corner is not quite what she's looking for.
It's very
so
funny.
Our space is not only beautiful, we call it spa inspired workspace, but it's also very collaborative and supportive. And we say we're female focused. We're not exclusive to women. I like to say if men like running water and candles and soft music and nice lighting in a very safe, supportive setting, they're welcome to join us.
I absolutely love it. And we will continue this conversation after the break. For right now, for all of our listeners, remember to keep the conversation going at facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, #womeninvest and #investinwomen. Once again, let's take a break. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and you are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls.
Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Join us every week for the Paper Hope Street Team. None of our topics are off the table. This is a program that you can listen to and discuss with your family. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics you want to talk about, such as friendship and relationships, or some more controversial issues about sex, drugs, and underage drinking. Join the Paper Hope Street Team live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. Let's talk soon. You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
And welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, talking here today with Ms. Felina Hansen. And for our last segment with you, Felina, I would love to talk about a few of your mantras that you love to tell people in your inspirational speaking, as well as an upcoming summit in July. So the first question that I have for you is, how do you hope to inspire others to do something amazing with their lives, not to waste precious time dwelling on any what-ifs?
Absolutely. That's such a great question, Michelle. Everybody's different, obviously, but in speaking for myself, it really is about, number one, finding what you're passionate about and figuring out how you can move towards that. And for myself, I'm passionate about supporting women specifically, right, and related to business. And so that has been really my focus, is creating a platform for women to launch and grow their business. So however somebody can find that, you know, whether that's their volunteer work and helping them find what they're passionate about, moving towards what draws them in, what gets them excited in the morning is so, so important in their career.
I love that. And do you personally feel liberated from corporate and societal expectations concerning female businesswomen? You have had so much success in your business, and you've been able to accomplish so much in your life at a very young age.
Well, thank you. It's a good question. Do I feel liberated? I love what I do, so I guess liberated is a good word. I call myself a rebel. I grew up in a pretty rebellious family. Both my parents are entrepreneurs, and I love every second of my life. I love what I do. I don't even feel like I'm working, frankly. There's a lot of conversations around work-life balance, and to me, the mantra I use is more work-life integration. How can you find what you love to do and make that into your work, and you really will never feel like you work a day in your life?
Absolutely, and that is something that typically draws entrepreneurs to want to start their own companies, because it's fostered out of their own love for something and their own passion, and to be able to see that become a concrete business is magical. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, and I will say, Michelle, it's not without challenges. I have failed so many times, I don't even keep track anymore. There are ups and downs. It's not easy by any means. And I've made a lot of decisions that I look back on and go, gosh, why did I go that direction? But that's how we learn. That's how we grow. That's how we get to where we are and really have that experience to take along with us. So entrepreneurship's not easy, but it is absolutely the most fulfilling thing that I've ever done in my life.
I love it. I'm so happy to hear that. And it's definitely a dream that many aspire to achieve. But right now, I'd love to talk about the upcoming Women Investing in Women San Diego Summit in July. So how excited are you to have your home host such a conference?
I'm really, really excited about it. Number one, San Diego is such an amazing city that we actually were recently ranked by Forbes magazine as the number one startup city in the United States.
Great.
And so there's a really great, thriving entrepreneurial community here, but the funding community here is not as thriving as the entrepreneurial community, especially as it relates to women-owned businesses. I often hear from my members, if I want to make anything happen, if I want to raise money, I have to go to the Bay Area. And that happens to be, for the most part, true down here. And so I'm really excited to bring the concept here and really open up the ecosystem for female entrepreneurs and for women who want to look at getting into angel investing.
Perfect. And what can those who are attending the conference expect to gain from the conference itself?
Absolutely. So we're really looking at two different, very similar markets for this particular summit. So obviously entrepreneurs, female entrepreneurs specifically, who are looking to learn about how to position their company as they grow for capital. And we're also targeting the angel investment community, both current angel investors, those that are already involved in the industry, and women of capacity who want to explore angel investing and learn about the process, learn about what do they need to look for in a company, how do they need to do their due diligence to potentially look at investing in a women-owned business.
Right, that's fantastic. And being an entrepreneur yourself, what is the impact of having outlets like the San Diego Summit as a way to network and develop your own business concepts?
Yeah, well, I was really lucky women always say, but I was so lucky. Well, I worked hard for it, so let's just, but I was also lucky that about a year and a half into my business, I was able to secure investment capital for our growth through a local woman who is an angel investor, and that really changed the scope of my business. So it allowed me to go from three locations to San Diego to, expanding across the United States. And so since I was able to enter into that relationship, really opened my eyes to, you know, how can we make this happen more? How can we give other women an opportunity to expand their business, whether it be in their local community or beyond?
I love it. And like you said earlier in the interview, entrepreneurship is difficult. It definitely has its challenges. And so let's talk about fear. These four letters have prevented countless women from pursuing their dreams, and well, men too. So how have you addressed fear to make sure that it did not come between you and your goals?
Yeah, you know, it's such a good question. I mean, of course, we all face fear. We all face self-doubt now and again. But for me, it's really setting a very clear vision. I know that I want to support at least 20,000 women in the start and growth of their business. And so keeping a really clear focus on that vision helps me keep fear at bay, so to speak, because I'm just so focused on that that I don't have time to think about anything else, frankly.
Right. That's awesome. And what advice would you give to your younger self, if you could?
Yeah, to go for it, honestly. I mean, it took some time for me to really build confidence. You know, I was a bit of a shy person when I was younger, not quite as outgoing, and probably didn't take enough risk when it came to, you know, making decisions and things of that nature. So it took me a while to grow into who I am. So I would advise myself to just jump a little more, push the envelope a little more, and take a few more risks earlier in my career.
That's fantastic. And to those who are attending the conference next, or in 2 months, it's almost the end of May, but in 2 months in July, what would you advise those who are attending if they're younger, if they're a bit nervous about going to a summit strictly for entrepreneurs, not strictly, but mainly geared towards entrepreneurs and investors? What would you advise them? How should they approach this?
Yeah, they need to understand that networking is just absolutely critical to their career path. They need to show up. And we've created an alliance with the University of San Diego for this particular event. And a lot of their students are getting involved in the event. So it really is a neat opportunity to connect with some of these young women who are in college and getting out of college, and help inspire them to take their first steps into their career and hopefully entrepreneurship as well. So I always advise, if somebody's kind of worried or a little nervous about attending something, raise your hand and ask to volunteer and get involved. It's the best way to meet people. And you have a job. You're not just there kind of sitting down. You're involved, and you're, you know, meeting people inherently through your role as a volunteer for an event.
There are countless opportunities, and I know that I will be there in July. So I am absolutely looking forward to seeing what the conference has to offer. It will be incredible, and I look forward to seeing you there too, Felina.
Likewise, I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being on our show today. And to all of our listeners out there, remember to keep the conversation going. Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting or go to Twitter, #womeninvest and #investinwomen.
Are you ready to explore the amazing world under the sea? Your host is a certified scuba diver, explorer. He likes to cook. And most of all, he's just a kid like you. You'll find out a lot more lies under the sea than what you've seen on TV, in movies, and even in aquatic parks. You'll learn about all kinds of fish, as well as other sea creatures. We'll take you to some exotic destinations and so much more. There's a whole big world under sea just waiting to be discovered. Tune in to Under the Sea, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Kids.
sometimes we may sound strange, but remember, we're just kids with opinions. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
There's so much going on in the tech field. The tech team is here to sort it all out so that you know exactly what you need to get and what you should avoid. In this age of cell phones and text messaging and new discoveries every single day, you need to be informed. We'll bring you previews of new products, technology news, and help you make the right decision when you are out there buying that new MP3 player, cell phone, or mobile device. Don't do a thing until you've tuned in to the Tech Team. Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself. What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
What's cooking? Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food, beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit! You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
It is common knowledge that one event in another country can have a wave of effects around the globe. Today, we will evaluate the horrific events that took place in India on Wednesday, May 28, 2014. In a northern Indian village, two young girls, aged 14 and 15, were found hanging from a tree on Wednesday after they were gang raped by five men. Not all suspects have been found, but three have been convicted, including a police officer. Following this event, as well as the 2012 gang rape and murder of a 23-year-old student on a moving bus in New Delhi, has positioned the issue concerning cases of rape and violence in India and other countries to grow in public awareness. Today, we are very honored to have the opportunity to interview Mr. Ravi Karkara, the Global Expert Advisor to Children and Youth at the United Nations. Once again, we are very glad to have the chance to talk to you today, Mr. Karkara. I first would like to ask you what your thoughts have been concerning what is going on in India at the moment.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I think, as you said, that, you know, what happens in a country like India, then of course, because of the global, which is global and local context, you see the repercussions everywhere else. I think it's absolutely very, very sad. And I think it's the word is really, you know, that it is absolutely unacceptable that we continue to see violence against girls, adults and girls, young women and women per se. And it really has to come to an end. And I think we've seen it, the focus of the violence here is absolutely complex compared to what we see here. I think in India we've seen that these girls who were 14 and 15 were stepping out in the evening for basic human rights, which was really to relieve themselves outside. And as you know, the country like India has hardly toilets. About, you know, huge populations in India go out to do open defecation, and especially when it comes to girls and women, they either go early in the morning or they are compelled to go during evening, and they have to really hold themselves because they live in extreme poverty. They do not have basic toilets in their house. So I think what you see here is, in this case, is really is about, you know, one, that there is huge amount of gender discrimination. The second is also social discrimination, because we're looking at girls belonging to a lower caste. And as you know, in India, we have a huge issue of the caste system. And then the people living in lower caste, which I think, again, is unacceptable, the whole caste system. Then you see that these girls who are coming from there were absolutely used as targets, you know. And I think there we really need to come up with very strong social norm reaction. We need to look at legislations that are really implemented. The policing system has to be very, very accountable to the citizens. And I think it is absolutely also something which is alarming, but at the same time important to emphasize, is that the role of men and boys is very critical. So maybe I'll speak about that later in the interview.
Absolutely. And it is very easy for us to think, especially in America, where we are fortunate to not have this issue, but underdeveloped countries do have this issue. The obvious question is, how could something like this happen? And through research and through what you just said about the lack of sanitary conditions and the lack of ways for humans to have their basic rights could be a cause. The occurrence of rape of young girls in India can be partly attributed to the lack of adequate restroom facilities in villages. 60% of households still do not have access to basic sanitation facilities right now in 2014. Do you believe enough attention is being paid to this issue?
I think there is a global call, which especially the UN system has made, and of course, as recently the Under Secretary General of UN system has called for a global action on water and sanitation, and really looking at sanitation as a very important human right. And again, the Honorable Prime Minister of India, he's talked about in his new electoral campaign that a toilet is needed for each and every family in India. I think I just want to highlight one or two important pieces here. I think it's just not that toilets are not there in homes, and especially for girls who are going to school. There are many schools out there in India and other parts of the world who do not have basic, toilet facilities even in schools. And I remember about 10 years ago, doing an Oxford roundtable on, water and sanitation, and where the girls really drew up and talked about issues, and the one poetry issue which she brought about, and she said, how will I go into the school when, I'll have to, and there were girls who talked about basic issues such as holding on so they would not drink water the whole day when they go to the school, because they know if they drink water, they'll have to find somewhere to relieve themselves, and they don't know where to go to relieve themselves because the school facility did not have. And imagine what happens is you're looking at your home condition, so your family and your basic home does not have a toilet. And if you relate that to going to schools, imagine the schools also don't have a toilet. So imagine the issue here that, yes, there is extreme poverty, but at the same time, there's also extreme inequalities, because at one level, we talk about countries which are, developing. There's G20, there's the BRICS, a whole phenomena taking place and the economy doing well. But then you see huge discrimination where a lot of money still sits with selected few Indians. So how do you ensure that when, development is happening, it's coming from integrated, coming from a very strong gender perspective and social inclusion perspective, and also ultimately addressing inequalities, be the inequalities from economic perspective, social perspective, political perspective, and very important, which is the heart of it, is really from a cultural and social norm perspective. So I think that's something which really needs to be addressed in a holistic manner.
Absolutely. And the repercussions of having that inequality, like you said, in an economic and a societal aspect, the repercussions are huge. And studies have been conducted that suggest that rape is committed every 22 minutes across India, which has a population of 1.2 billion people. Again, the cause of this could be and is because of the discrepancy of equality among its citizens. Do you believe that this statistic is accurate, or should it be even greater than what has been reported?
You always are skeptical, right? I mean, we are talking about a country which is a 1.2 billion population, a country which has issue of female feticide and infanticide, a country who also has produced one of the best, best scientists, and, every day we have huge women engineers coming. So there's so much of contradictions. But I would also like to talk about one particular angle, and I talk about the survey which the UN Millennium Campaign has been undertaking. And it's the United Nations Secretary General survey about asking people as we reach the Millennium Development Goal ending in 2015. So we've been asking citizens out there, really to tell us that, if you're looking at 16 priorities, tell us what are your top six priorities. And across the world, we have about 2.2 million people have taken the vote till now. And out of that, about 1.7 million are below the age of 30. And really, young people, and especially girls and young women, are again important. About 47% of the voters are the female voters, using both traditional ballot system, SMS campaigns, and of course going online. But here is what I really want to highlight. I think the top six priorities which come, especially for girls and young women, include issues of education. They include issues of health. They do include issues of honest and responsive government. And they talk about issues of water and sanitation, nutrition, food, issues of protection from crime and violence, and asking for stronger measures on gender equality. Now, it's very easy to list, say, these are the top six priorities, but we have to really understand the correlation and interlinkages between each of those, because girls are telling us out there very clearly that we need to see stronger accountability, so the girls' situation and their position and condition in society can really be improved. When I talk about conditions, so that there are healthy girls out there who can assert the human rights as described by Convention on Rights of the Child or the Convention on Discrimination Against Women, which is absolutely important. We're talking about girls who can go out and be active citizens and feel safe when they're walking on the streets or going to a school or going to, you know, a neighbor's place. You know, so I think that's something which is really important to highlight. And again, I think where girls have really talked about is this whole aspect that they don't feel that gender equality has been attained. And in India especially, there's a huge amount of, you know, as you know, that there is systematic and structural inequalities, and especially structural gender-based violence and gender-based inequalities that has been taken from generations after generations. So I really, just to go back to your earlier indicators about, you know, every 22 minutes, I think the important thing is, I think the action really has to happen. I think it has to be a combination of a citizens awareness campaign, of people really creating those monitoring bodies at the village level, in their neighborhood level, to really say that we will ensure that we take strong measures to create protection. The other important is also asking for male accountability, where boys and young men and men should really play a fundamental key role in asking and demanding gender equality and really contributing it. So it's very easy to say, you know, that men and boys need to be part of it, but they need to be stronger in terms of being accountable on gender equality, and that needs another set of discussion.
Correct, and I agree wholeheartedly with the way that the conversation is going. For right now, we will take a break. Remember to keep the conversation going to all of our listeners out there at facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, #womeninvest and #investinwomen. Once again, let's take a break. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and you are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe. We are speaking here today with Ravi Karkara, the Global Advisor for the UN Millennium Campaign, and we are talking about a very serious issue about what is going on in India at the moment and the violation of rights of many of the people living there. And Ravi, I just want to start off by saying this is a shocking problem, and how do you suggest that we in America address this situation?
I think there are so many layers to this. I mean, just to go back on the American perspective, I think one that you need to realize that we're also in a very important crossroad at a global level. As I said, we are working on the UN Millennium Declaration and its ending of its goal by next year. But we also are celebrating, and it's quite ironical in a way, that we're celebrating the Beijing Plus 20, which is 20 years of celebration of gender equality and women's empowerment. And this was about Beijing, Platform for Action, which was done in 1995. And it's about 2015, that next year, that we will celebrate. So I really think that you in America can play a very important role to magnify and amplify the issue of gender equality and women's empowerment, which includes girls' empowerment. I think it's so important that, you know, what Women Investment Women is doing. I'm wondering whether there should be another piece, which is girls investing in girls, which is more about social investment, so that people like Malala, yourself, Michelle, can really elevate the girls' voices and the issues. More importantly, not to really say that girls are also just vulnerable, but girls are also doing a lot to change their situations every day. So I would say that also from another perspective would be really to make that connection. You know, I think it'll be important at some point to see like the work which Nike Foundation has done, or the Plan International has done, and really bringing the girls' perspective, or the United Nations Foundation system has done on Girls Up campaign. But that really need a lot of support, where people need to come up, step up, and really magnify, as I said, the voices of girls and their issues, and also put pressure. And of course, in the USA, you need to also look at how the government really is forwarding the Declaration on Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. And also in USA, you have not ratified the Convention on Rights of the Child, which has a very important aspect, which is Article Number 2, which is ending all form of discrimination.
Right.
So I would say that please, what you're doing right now needs to be really amplified at a higher level. Look at cross linkages between India and the American experience, but also understand that it's so different, because India is a huge mixed bag, because, you know, you have very big, sophisticated, cities which are moving forward, and one level the girls are going to school, but then you have a very, you know, there are parts of country which are absolutely backward. You know, they don't have electricity. And we just heard, and you pointed out, but they don't even have basic human facilities such as a basic toilet, not just in the homes, but not also in their schools. So that's something which I think is really needed. So please help advocate, voice that concern, bring that support, so that, you know, we can really change situations of girls and young women in India.
And this is a great segue. This millennial generation is more involved in global issues than any other generation thus far. We get our information from various platforms of media and immediately look for ways to create change. Examples of this phenomenon can be found with Kony 2012, as well as the missing girls in Nigeria. But do you believe that spreading the word about these issues is enough?
I think there are two important, you know, actually three important pieces when I work, you know, as a global advisor. I talk about voice, action, and partnerships. So when I talk about voice, I think, yes, we need to amplify. We need as much as noise. You've seen with what you've done with the Kony, discussion. We bring back the girls is another good example. But we need more and more voice in support of ending all forms of, absolutely unacceptable, ending all forms of action against violence against girls and women. That has to end. It's really, you know, violence against humanity. That's it, full stop. It has to end. The second is really on the aspect of action. I think that's so important what you said, because ultimately, how do you strengthen that girl or that system or that ecosystem that can become more protective? And girls cannot just be seen as, you know, passive recipients, but very much active citizens and active agents in their own lives. I'll give you an example. In a village in Nepal, what they did was there were a lot of girls who were trafficked for forced prostitution to India. So the girls started talking to each other and said, you know, we need to change our situation.
Right.
Because they were, you know, falsely, tricked into moving to India as a domestic labor. But when they reached India, they were actually sold to prostitution. So these girls started creating awareness and started mapping what are safe spaces and what are unsafe spaces. And then they said, you know, we will go out and talk about, they made a short film and they went, advocated with everybody, the local leaders, the religious leaders, the men, the teachers, the traders, the women's groups and others who gave them a lot of support. And these girls basically created something called the Safety Net Project. But then said, you know, why should we just take the responsibility of our safety? What about boys changing their attitude? So these girls then compelled, in a way, the boys in that community to say that they will take equal role in sharing domestic responsibilities. So that girls' burden of managing the home so that they can be part of the education system. You know, not everything should be absolutely go back to the girl child. And that really created another ripple. And I'll give you one more example on issues of boys taking important role in gender-based violence, in ending gender-based violence. Another group of boys in, for example, I'm drawing these examples from around the world so that, you know, you can see how these can be put into the context. In India, the organization called Men's Action to Stop Violence Against Women is a small group which works in Uttar Pradesh in one of the most difficult areas, such as the one we're discussing today. And they basically go and train boys and say that, you know, can boys take an important role in gender equality? Because taking a role in gender equality is just not good for girls and women. It is very important for boys and men. So what they do is using, you know, participatory methodologies such as snakes and ladder game, such as theater for development, such as, you know, hosting, you know, rallies in villages using candlelight and saying that, you know, we men and boys take pledge that we will take action on ending gender-based violence and we will vow to support our action on gender equality. But these are small examples.
Right.
This really has to be amplified, but has to become a global movement. And that is what is absolutely needed when we're looking at Beijing Plus 20 and the examples I talked about, how gender equality is being prioritized in the My World Survey.
Right, and many global revolutions are taken up by the youth. But many times young people look at global issues like this, like what is happening in India, they want to help. We want to make a larger impact for the future of our planet. However, many times we are dumbfounded trying to achieve that success. So how much power do young people in developed countries really have when it comes to issues like what is happening in India? And how much power could we have if we were given the correct tools, possibly through the survey that the UN conducted and different means that can get us more involved?
One that you should say, you know, you young people need to demand their right to participate, right? It's not that somebody needs to provide. We've seen what has happened in the Arab Spring.
Right.
We've seen what happened with the Occupy Wall Street. We've seen it in many other parts of the world when young people take on charge, as you so rightly said, this millennial generation is so different. They're so well-informed. They're so well-connected to each other. And that is also a huge strength. And I think where you really need to come into this is really that can we create a global movement? And given that we have this huge, important, you know, opportunity of the Millennium Development Goals coming to an end and the new development agenda coming to from September 2015 and the Beijing Plus 20 also, you know, celebrating 20 years. Can we call this new, you know, the millennial generation? Because honestly, this is a generation which is the Beijing Plus 20 generation, who really say that, you know, we, everybody out there, all of us will take action on promoting gender equality and ending all forms of inequalities. And here's an example I would like to give you, a 19-year-old young guy from Mexico, Gerardo, who started an organization 4 months ago. It's called Young Men for Gender Equality. You can actually become a member of Facebook. And what he wants to do is do a global campaign and really bring every young a young man and a young woman and an adolescent boy and girl, everybody out there to say from Facebook, Twitter, whatever, Snapchat, to say that let's go and capture images and let's do more, let's push ourselves to absolutely do almost like, do a tipping point on bringing this world to become a gender equitable place to live in. So I think this is really something which really needs to become, like as you said, it has to go viral on the positive side. You know, we spend time looking at all these actors, you know, and we should start doing something, which is to really look at some of these feminist activists who have been brilliant in their work, some of the men who stood out there and said, you know, we want to be part of gender equality. So how do we promote them and make them go viral and follow them up instead of always following some music singer or an actor? So I think that's something which is, I get so amazed. I learn from this millennium generation all the time because they're really changing the way some of us, when I was growing up, you know, 20 years ago, and I see this generation, which is so much informed. And I really think the show that you're doing right now, you know, I mean, this really has to be replicated in as many languages as it can be, because it's just not about gender-based violence in India. It's also about gender-based violence in USA. and also the violence which girls and women face every day in this country as well.
Correct. And Mr. Karkada, thank you again for taking the time out of your day to conduct this interview. Women Investing in Women and Girls makes it a point to refuse to leave any rock unturned. Our involvement through our Facebook has gotten us hundreds of thousands of people following this issue and trying to initiate change. I believe that any global issue becomes a personal issue, and if there are youth in one country that suffer, I believe we all suffer. Mr. Karkada, thank you so much. And thank you so much. Thank you. Remember to keep the conversation going at facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, #womeninvest and #investinwomen. Thank you again to all of our listeners for listening. You've been listening to Women Investing, Women and Girls. This show is produced by KidStar for the Voice America Kids Network. Up next, a track from the KidStar album of the month.
Thank you for joining us today. Your hosts will be back next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, for another edition of Women Investing in Women and Girls on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll talk then.
Lindsay Marie from Phoenix, Arizona, and host of Bookworm. The KidStar album of the month this month is Back in School, Neil Brewer and Friends. Let's listen to Three Kids in the Car.
Three kids in the car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And I can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. And the sister's sitting in the front seat, who at this point of the song you need to realize is about 3 months away from getting her driver's license. She's thinking to herself, I can't believe that I'm still riding with them. I hope that we're not seen by some of my friends. And if by chance I fail the driver's exam, then I am running away. Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And I can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. Brothers sitting behind her, who at this point of the song you need to realize is about 5 years younger than she is, but he's still about 2 years older than his little brother sitting next to him. He glares down at his little brother and he's thinking to himself, I can't wait till our sister's finally gone. Then I'll sit up front cause that's where I belong. And I'll be rid of you, you miserable worm. Why don't you just run away? Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. They can't say nothing cause they've all been scorned cause their mother's done bad enough. And the little brother, who at this point of the song you need to realize is a whole lot smarter than the other two think he is. He glares back up at his big brother and he's thinking to himself, I know that there's nobody back in the trunk. Try to scare me with all that junk. I hope you read my mind, I think you're a skunk. And guess what, I'm not running away. Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And they can't say nothing cause they've all been scorned cause their mother's done had enough. And the mother who's been driving all this time, she's thinking to herself, things that I'd better not say. So we'll just pretend that she's thinking, oh, what a beautiful day.
The KidStar album of the month is Back in School by Neil Brewer and Friends. All musical proceeds Neil Brewer and Friends received are donated to the Harvard Stem Cell Institute to put an end to muscular dystrophy. For more information, go to the KidStar website, www.kidstar.org.